Good evening. My message tonight is titled, Four Reasons to Praise God. Four Reasons to Praise God, and it's from Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I just got through going through all the Psalms. I had all 150 of them, a Psalm a day. It took me over 5 months. But when I got to 145, I was really inspired about the life of David, how he ended the psalm in this way, his last psalm here. There's almost 3,000 people mentioned by name in the Bible, and most of them are by name. But there's a few lives that go into more detail. God goes into more detail about their lives, and David is one of them who God goes into detail about. It's probably one of the most detailed lives we have. And a lot is said about David, you know, about his thoughts, about his fears. We have a lot of his words that he spoke. We know a lot about his strength, a lot about his weaknesses. We have a lot of information about David. And most of this information we find in the over 70 Psalms that are attributed to him. And I think we can safely say that God clearly makes David one of our greatest Old Testament examples of a life live fully for God. We can learn a lot from David. And we know that God loved David, and David was special to him because we read in Acts 13, verse 22, it says, Paul says here, and when he had removed him, when God had removed Saul from king, he raised up for them David, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So we know that David was a very important person to God. God loved David. And we can relate to David easy in our lives. We can learn a lot, draw a lot of lessons from David. You know, except for the fact that he was a king over a great, huge empire, he faced a lot of the difficulties and challenges that we face as Christians, you know, in as we press on to know God and as we climb that hill to Zion. We face a lot of the same challenges that David faced in his day. You know, you could say David had his fair share of wilderness experiences, as you know, Marilyn brought out this morning in Sunday school. And you look at it right from the start in 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says that David was the youngest son of 8 brothers. David had 7 older brothers, and I had 4 boys. And I couldn't imagine having 8, and I couldn't imagine being the youngest one of 8. Think of the life he had, probably picked on a lot, pushed around. So he had 7 older brothers. And his chore in the family, it says here, he was the one who watched over the sheep. He spent a lot of lonely hours, days and nights, watching over the sheep. And I think what this did is it gave David experiences of loneliness. He had experiences of loneliness in his life because loneliness would come back to David time and time again, periods of loneliness in his life. And you could kind of say that he was like, had the Cinderella story almost. You say he was the one who was forgotten almost. You know, when Samuel had a word from God and said that he was going to anoint one of Jesse's sons, you know, to be king, when he went to Jesse and told him this, Jesse brought before him 7 of his sons, and they all passed before Samuel. And none of them, Samuel said, were the one. And because Samuel urged Jesse, saying, well, do you have any more sons? Then he said, well, we have David out in the field watching the sheep. So it's almost like David was the forgotten one. So he had to go through that experience of being forgotten. And then on top of that, when he did pass before Samuel, he was the one anointed. So now you got the 7 brothers who are probably jealous and probably a little rivalry going. So David had his problems in his own family. And then he had his first job outside the house. You know, he went to work for Saul. He played instruments for Saul. And what happened there was he found out that employers can make life hard for you. And I've been through that experience. You know, I've had jobs where the employers, my bosses, were really hard to get along with. And that's what happened to David. And I think this experience in David's life caused him to learn how to respect authority. He had to buck up. He had to learn how to respect authority even through these hard times. I know a lot of you probably have gone through that. You know, even when God eventually moved David into his calling, into his kingship, there were still a lot of trials ahead for David's life. You know, he found out that leadership isn't always what it's cracked up to be. You know, David had a lot of responsibility in his leadership. You know, he had a lot of tough decisions to make in that kingdom, decisions that would really affect people's lives. And on top of this, David had a lot of added stress. You know, he had the added pressure of multiple wives. You know, he had to live with multiple wives, and you know, one's enough. But he had multiple wives that he had to deal with. He had strong-willed children to deal with. You know, and I've been there also. I mean, when children are strong-willed, it can take a lot out of you. I know probably you don't know that, but strong-willed children is a real pressure in your life. And then he had constant threat from his neighboring enemies, you know, always worried about warfare coming on. And I've had that experience myself. I have some neighbors that I'm constantly on guard about. So these things David had in his life, so he didn't have that perfect life that we think of. And talk about stress, he just piled on. And then as Marilyn mentioned today, he also suffered the intense guilt of his own failure with the sin with Bathsheba. You know, he had to suffer condemnation, conviction over what he did. And because of this, he actually knew the value of repentance and restoration. God showed him repentance and restoration. We know that David went through this because we read it in Psalm 51, 11 through 13. Psalm 51, 11 through 13. This was written after his sin with Bathsheba. He says here, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You know, how many times maybe have you prayed that? I know I've prayed that before when I'm in my mistakes. You know, God, please restore me. And David is a real encouragement, I think, to us, because he wasn't perfect, and we're not perfect either. But he still gained that position, that title of a man after God's own heart. And I think he did this, he gained this title because he had a sensitivity towards sin. And I think that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to be sensitive towards sin. You know, even if we fall into it, we have to realize how much God wants us to turn around. And that was David's main attempt. His main thing in life was to get things right with God. And I think this is what pleased God's heart. Even though he fell, he got things right with God. Another thing about David, how he survived all these wilderness experiences, how he survived loneliness, hardships, disappointments, personal failures, how he survived all these things through his life. I think it started out, an answer started out when he was young, in his early years, when he was a shepherd boy. Because David learned to make time for God. In them lonely days and lonely nights and throughout his life, he learned early to make time for God. He learned to think on God and trust on God and meditate on who he was. And what happened was this resulted in a relationship that him and God had that brought lasting peace in his life. This relationship with him and God brought a lasting peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And this is why I think this last psalm here that we're going to look at, Psalm 145, is so important. Because David had peace even through the hard times, and he could end up praising God. And that's what this psalm speaks about. This last psalm of David is a psalm of praise. And we know that every day, it says in verse 2 here of Psalm 145, it says, "Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forevermore." And this was at the end of David's life. And I get really encouraged when I see someone like Pastor Gazaway up here. You know, he's older. He's up there in the years, but he's still up here praising the Lord, and that's what we want. We want to be that one who praises God even later in life, and that's what David is here. And I want to look at four things from God's character that David brings out. Now, this is a personal psalm, so these are personal things, but these four things that David brings out here can even apply to us, things we can always praise God for. No matter how good things are going in your life or no matter how bad things are going in your life, you can always praise God, and David gives four of these ways you can do it, the four of these areas. And the first area he brings out here in Psalm 145 is in verse 3. Verse 3. David says here, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness, is unsearchable." And the New Living Translation says it this way. It says, "No man can measure his greatness." And David, no doubt, knew and appreciated the awesomeness of God's creation. If we have our first slide there. I can just picture David. He's out there watching over the sheep and looking up into the skies, and he's appreciating who God is, and he's appreciating God's greatness early in his life. Because much of what the Lord does is simply beyond man's understanding. Almost all of what God does is beyond our understanding. He only allows us to understand a little bit of his plans. And one of those things that's hard to understand is the size of the universe. Now, I wonder, why did God create such a large expanse? You know, what was the purpose and reason for it? And what I want to do now is just go through a little space travel. You know, we're going to look at the next slide here. We're just going to look at how big our universe is. I got this off a Christian site. He says, suppose you start at the sun in a rocket ship. And suppose you're going to travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. You're going 186,000 miles per second, and you're starting at the sun. Now, in a little more than 8 minutes, you're going to travel from the sun. You're going to reach 93 million miles out to the Earth. So in a little over 8 minutes, traveling that speed, you're going to reach the Earth, 93 million miles. And then 5.5 hours of traveling, you'll reach Pluto. You'll reach the final planet in our solar system, Pluto. And if you keep traveling, by the end of the day, at 186,000 miles a second, you're going to travel 3.5 billion miles, and you're going to be at the edge of our solar system, the second frame. Now, turn the ship upwards, straight up, and you're still traveling. You're going at the speed of light. You've traveled all day. Now you're going to travel straight up, and you're going to travel for 1,000 years at the speed of light. You're going to go another 1,000 years. You'd be far enough away that if you look through your window in your spaceship, you'd be able to see the whole Milky Way galaxy. That's what that is. You look back, you're far enough away to see the whole galaxy now. Now continue traveling for another 5 million years at the speed of light. Next frame. And after you travel for 5 million years at 186,000 miles per second, you're going to look back and you're going to see that one of these little blots of light is the galaxy, and you're going to see a cluster of galaxies. One of them is the Milky Way. The other is just the 30 called our local group of galaxies. So now you've traveled for 5 million years at 186,000 miles per second, and you can see a cluster of galaxies. Now what you're going to do is you're going to travel for 50 million years at the speed of light. So you've traveled for 50 million years at the speed of light, and you're just going through deep, dark space. And pretty soon you'll come to another cluster of galaxies. There'll be 2,000 galaxies in that cluster. And then you keep going. You're going 50 million years. And then you keep going after that cluster of galaxy of 20, and you're going to travel not 50 million, but 10 billion years at the speed of light. And you come to another cluster of galaxies, the last one, and you think you're reaching the end of the universe, But 10 billion years of traveling, and this is what you got in front of you. These are all galaxies, another cluster of billions of countless galaxies ahead of you. So that's where they've been able to go so far. That's what they said they've been able to discover so far. It seems there's no end to our galaxy. They haven't come to the end of it yet. That's why it says no man can measure his greatness. So the answer to the question, you know, why has God created such a large universe, such a big expanse? And I think David had it right when he said in Psalm 19, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." I think it was because God's glory is declared in his power and how big he's created the universe. We just can't explain it. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So the first reason we can praise God is because of his power and his glory. It's beyond our imagination. David brought that out here. The second reason that David gives us to praise God is seen in verses 8 and 9. 8 and 9 of Psalm 145. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works." So what we have here is it's so good to know that such a powerful God who has so much creative ability has chosen to be a loving, kind God. We can praise him for his loving kindness. And I ask a question like David did. Every once in a while, like David asked in Psalm 8, verse 4, David says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" You know, but the truth is that even though we're so small, even though we exist on this tiny blue planet in this undiscovered universe, even though we're on this tiny blue planet, God has a plan for us. You know, we have the opportunity to know God's holiness, to know his love, and to grow close to him. We have the privilege of being able to please God, this awesome creator. He has a plan for us. And as amazing as this sounds, he desires that personal relationship with each and every one of us. So it's amazing that God is a loving, kind God, and he has chosen even to love minute man, somebody who's on a small blue planet in this universe. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men might count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So the Lord desires for all to be saved. You know, he doesn't create anybody for hell. When God creates us, he puts that seed in everybody that will. He wants to draw them. And when Moses asked God to reveal himself, God chose to reveal certain character traits that he wanted to be known by. And we read about that in Exodus 34, verse 6. Exodus 34 and verse 6. "And the Lord passed by him," Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty.'" And I think it's this amazing gift that we have, this amazing gift of forgiveness by such a powerful God that should bring a divine, healthy fear of him, this amazing gift that we have. And God loves those who have developed a healthy fear for him. God has a special heart for us when we develop that holy fear. And David knew this also. David knew how God loves those who fear him. He says in Psalm 103, 9 through 11, says here, "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our own sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." So the first area of praise that we can always give God for, no matter what, is we can praise him for his greatness and his creative ability, his power. And the second area that David gives us is we can praise him because of his loving kindness towards us. He chooses to show us loving kindness. The third reason, the third area we can praise God in that David brings out in Psalm 145 is found in verse 14 of Psalm 145 says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and he raises up all those that be bowed down." God has chosen to be also a sustainer. He helps us up when we fall. He has chosen to have that ministry in our life. You know, this life is like a training ground. You know, it's a constant battle sometimes. It's like a boxing match. You have to keep your guard up all the time, because if you let your guard down, the devil's right there to knock you out with sin, and it happens. And there's going to be times in our lives when we're going to fall, and we're going to find ourselves, you know, just down on that canvas, down on the battlefield. But God is not in the business of letting his people stay down for the count. He wants to sustain us. He wants to bring us back up. You know, that's his desire, is to strengthen us when we've fallen. And we see this work brought out, this work of the sustaining the fallen in Psalm 107. And in Psalm 107 and verse 2, we see that the Lord is a redeemer of his people. Lord is a redeemer of his people. He redeems them from the hand of the enemy. He loves to do that. And there's four groups here talked about in this psalm that the Lord has brought back, that the Lord has redeemed. And the first group is found in verses 4 through 9 of Psalm 107. 4 through 9. And these people are those who have wandered away, maybe for some reason, maybe because they were offended, maybe because they just took the Lord nonchalantly, but they've wandered away from God, and it says they became lost and they became faint. That's the first group. The second group in this psalm is found in verses 10 through 16. Verses 10 through 16. And these people are those who have rebelled against God. They've rebelled, and they find themselves in bondage. They're prisoners of their own doing because of the rebellion. This is the second group. The third group is found in 17, begins in 17 of Psalm 107, 17 through 22. And these people are suffering the consequences in their bodies of their sin. They're suffering the consequences of their sins physically in their bodies. You know, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol, whatever it is they've fallen into. But now they're experiencing great misery. They're close to death. This is the third group talked about here. And the last group is seen in verse 23 through 32. Verse 23 through 32. This group has chosen the ways of the world instead of God. They've chosen to trust in God or man instead of God. But when life's battles come at them, when life attacks them with things, they lose hope. They grow discouraged. You know, they come to the end of their ways. They have no place to turn. But the interesting thing here is that in each of these cases, it tells us in every case that God is close by and he's listening. God's ear is bent towards these people and he's waiting for their cries. And in each of these situations, when they cry out for him, what's he do? He delivers them. He releases them from their distress. Now, God's ear is always bent towards us. Personally, he wants to hear our cries. He wants to hear our cries for help to him. And I always felt this in my heart, and I memorized Psalm 116, Psalm 116. And Psalm 116 starts out, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You know, he says, the sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me, I found trouble and sorrow. Therefore called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. And that's what God wants to hear. He wants to hear us cry in a simple way to him. And he's there to deliver us. So we have him. We praise him because he's powerful. We praise him because he's such a magnificent, great God. We praise him because he shows us loving kindness. This great, powerful God has chosen to love man. We can praise him because he's a sustainer. He doesn't let his people stay down for long. If he hears our cries, he will bring us up. And the last reason here we find that David mentions why we should praise him starts in verse 17 of Psalm 145. Psalm 17 of 145 says here, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. So we've talked about how powerful God is. We talked about how loving God is. And we talked about how God loves to help us up, help to restore the backslider. He loves to do that. But we can't leave out this important trait that David brings out here, and that we can also praise God for his righteous ways and his judgments. We have to praise God for that. You know, when the scales of justice are tipped and there's partiality shown in cases, the Lord gets very aroused and angry, and we do too. You know, we love fairness. And I've been to a lot of court cases in my job when I was a prison officer. And a lot of these cases, I've seen a couple cases that went completely bad, completely wrong, and it was the lawyer against the other lawyer. And you knew the case. I knew the case. I knew what the deal was. I knew what should have happened. But the one lawyer was so much better than the other lawyer that the inmate got away with something very wicked. And that brings, you could see people just seethe up for that because they knew the deal. But the one lawyer was so much better that he presented such a better case that he got away with pretty much almost murder. And that's what really tears at the heart of God, and it tears at our heart also. So God is a God of justice. He will see all justice done in the end. And if we go against God's ways, there's going to be consequences. There will always be consequences in our lives, in our country. We see that now happening, judgments on America, because we've chosen to go against the ways of God. Justice and righteousness is very important for God. It's on the top of the list. You know, God does not show mercy at the expense of his justice. You know, you can imagine, took the sacrifice of his only son, the sacrifice of his only son, to redeem us from our sinful state. That's how important righteousness is to God. And the cost was priceless to him. In order for us to be justified in his sight, he paid a dear price. And Paul explains this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Paul says here, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God is a righteous God. We need to praise him for his ways. His ways are always right, and we have to allow him to work those ways into our life. You know, because God has done so much for us, we need to in turn praise him for his righteousness and allow ourselves to be changed into the image of Christ, into the image of his son. We need to allow ourselves to be able to please him with all our actions. And this was the goal of David's life. This was the goal of David's life. This is how he developed the heart after God. This is the thoughts that he had. And we see it brought out in Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And that's a man who praised God, who ended up praising God. His heart was to allow him his ways to please God, to be acceptable in God's sight. So power, God's power, his loving kindness, his willingness to lift us up when we fall, his great sacrifice he paid to help us to be able to become righteous and justified in his sight. And as we said at the beginning, this is what David had in this psalm. He four reasons that he praised God, and he stayed after God's own heart. David learned to praise God even in the wildernesses of Judah. We said that even in the good times and the bad, we need to learn to praise God. And David was pursued by Saul in the wilderness. Every day somebody was after him. He had spies checking out every move. It must have been miserable. But in Psalm 63, verses 3 through 4, Psalm 63, verses 3 through 4, is written during this time. David wrote these words when he's going through this trial in the wilderness, when he was being chased daily, when his life was in danger constantly. He still found time. He still praised God. He says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." So this is what I think I got out of this psalm, that even at the end of my life, I want to be able to say, even when things are going wrong, I want to be able to say like David, I want to be able to praise God for who he is. Amen? Dear Lord, we thank you for the life of David. We thank you that you have given us such a description of him in your word. We know that you want us to draw from that description, draw from his life. Help us to be this kind of person as he was, Lord. Help us to always praise your name, even when we fall, Lord, even when we fail as David did. Help us to always bring praise to your name. Help us to be pleasing to you in everything we do, Lord. Take us on just like you took David, Lord, up to the Mount Zion, to your holy city. In your name we pray. Amen.